on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. And we start you off with the headlines that you need to know. Major League Baseball in the headlines today. Two Monday night MLB games postponed because of an outbreak of the coronavirus among the Miami Marlins. The Miami Marlins home opener against Baltimore Orioles is off, as well as the Phillies home opener against the Yankees. Miami just completed a series in Philadelphia. Seven more players, two coaches with the Marlins, have tested positive for the coronavirus. An outbreak has spread throughout their clubhouse and brought the total cases in recent days to at least 13. Sources familiar with the situation have told our very own Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers. We'll ask Jesse Rogers about it later in today's show to get the latest on what's going on in Major League Baseball. Next up in the headlines that you need to know, we'll stay with some coronavirus headline action here. NFL players will start to get some clarity. It looks like NFL players who contract the coronavirus through, quote, high-risk activity away from team facilities can face team discipline and might be at risk of not being paid, according to the league's new protocol. So this doesn't look like a suggestion. This is protocol. There's a great article on it on ESPN.com by Dan Graziano. A memo sent by the NFLPA to agents this weekend, a copy of which was obtained by ESPN, outlined several rules governing player contracts, opt-out provisions, and the contractual consequences of a canceled season. Importantly, for a lot of people keeping track, per the memo, the NFL says that you can be fined or face punishment if you go to an indoor nightclub with more than 15 people, an indoor bar with more than 15 people, other than to pick up food, an indoor house party with more than 15 people, or indoor music concert or entertainment event with more than 15 people. So some lines being drawn in the sand there, and punishment for players that don't fall within that. Lastly, on your headlines, a little bit of positivity through all of this coronavirus talk. Kyrie Irving helping to make sure WNBA players can sit out the season without any stress for a paycheck. The Nets star is committing $1.5 million to supplement the income of players who choose not to play this season, whether that's because of coronavirus concerns or social justice reasons. The funds will come from the KAI Empowerment Initiative that Irving launched Monday. It also will provide players with a financial literacy program created by UBS. So Kyrie Irving putting his money where his mouth is to make sure that some of the greats in the WNBA still have the opportunity to sustain themselves if they aren't able to play this year. Those are your headlines. That's some straight talk. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers only. Pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, and it's only $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. I want to get your straight talk on how confident you feel now. I mean, obviously, the news story we talked about at the beginning of the headlines, the Miami Marlins having to postpone today's game. We now know that at least 13 players have contracted COVID-19, a couple of the coaches as well. So as a result, we see a couple of postponements for the Marlins with their home opener, but also for the Phillies playing because they were the team that just played Miami. So I want you to chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How concerned are you that we're actually going to get to see the entirety of a season? It took less than a week for us to get to this point with coronavirus, with COVID-19. So how concerned are you? I'll make a strange point to you. I believe that there's some positive to this. I mean, when you start talking about what Major League Baseball has gone through in a week, when you look at Juan Soto and the fact that he was identified only hours before the opening game of the season that he wasn't going to be able to play, and now you have a full team being held back, to me, at some point, it has to say the system of testing is working because they're catching these things. They're not in a bubble, so testing becomes all more important. So for Major League Baseball to not only identify these cases, but for them to fearlessly decide that whether it's a star or whether it's an entire team, they're not going to put anybody at additional risk, while that's not an ideal scenario, I still look at it and say there's some strength to that. There is some positivity to baseball for being transparent and identifying and catching these cases as quickly as possible. But I want you guys to chime in. You can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Let's continue the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and it comes in the form of First Take today, as Jess Mendoza joined the guys to have a debate about how confident she feels about the rest of Major League Baseball season being able to be played.
I'm scared. I mean, honestly, I've like so many of these last 3 days was beyond giddy of just seeing baseball return to the field. And what's the point of sport anyway, right? It's a distraction. It's a way of forgetting about really what's happening in our country, as bad or good as that is. That's exactly what sport does. And it did the same for me. And this was a slap in the face this morning. And honestly, even yesterday, when you started to hear 3 cases, 4 cases. And by the time I woke up, that number to 11 just gives us a reality of where we're at. And the fact that this is something that is not only not going to go away, but needs to be handled in a very different way.
Well, Jess, considering we've got, I believe it's 8 players so far who have tested positive. Like, what do you think, or how long will it take for the Marlins to be in a position where they can return to the field?
Oh, it's going to be weeks, in my opinion, if they do it the right way. And the fact that they even played yesterday, I mean, let's talk about that. There were quotes within The Athletic on Sunday morning from their key players. They had a team meeting and talked about it. At that point, they had already had 3 positive tests. And there was concern amongst the clubhouse, should we play this game or not? And then the consensus came out, yes, we want to play. We want to get back on the field. It'll be fine. You wake up this morning, you got 8 more players. And really, my concern right now, and I think for a lot of people, all eyes are in Philadelphia, because yes, we see what's happened with the Marlins, and there might be more positive cases that come up. But when you're talking about the future of Major League Baseball, when you're talking about the NFL and where they turn, it's about how this affected the teams they played against. So for the Marlins playing against Philadelphia all weekend long, and now they will be tested. We will find out tonight if there are any Philadelphia players that now have contracted the virus. If they have, think about what that means. So it's not just about this Marlins team, but about whether you're playing and sharing a ball with another team that is being exchanged. Everything that's happening, yes, they're more spread out than any other sport, but still, if those Phillies players come out with a positive test, now we see something, and we're talking even more bigger picture.
Even if they don't, Jessica, if you played for the Yankees, how would you feel about using the visitors' clubhouse? Like, you know, you're using the Marlins clubhouse, not the Phillies. The Phillies are using theirs. How would you feel if you were the Yankees and you had to travel to Philadelphia?
There's a reason the game's postponed. I mean, I was texting Aaron Boone. I'm just like, how is this even going to be played tonight, let alone tomorrow? To your point, Max, is the fact that I don't want to get anywhere near that clubhouse. They actually brought their own staff because they didn't even want to be around the staff that was in that visitor clubhouse. So they traveled with their own so that they could be the ones within the clubhouse if they have to be there. So yes, this is a postponement, but if I'm a Yankee player, Max, there is no way that I want to be anywhere near there for days, not just tonight's game, but you're looking at a postponement of when. First of all, you're going to have test results. There's so many questions that need to be answered. But let's be real. We're talking about health right now. This isn't an injury. This isn't Justin Verlander going down with a flexor strain. This is the coronavirus. This is something that can affect you. And now we're seeing the longevity of it, how it can affect you. That's what's hitting home. And if I'm the wife of one of those players, I'm telling you, you get your butt back to New York. I don't want you to be anywhere near Philadelphia.
Jessica, I think that without a bubble situation, or maybe for sports like baseball and football, you need multiple bubbles. You have a very, very low chance of finishing the season. But you would think that baseball has some protocols in place where if a visiting team was infected, had multiple players infected with the virus, or even one, they have some way to sanitize that locker room quickly. Are you aware of any protocols that baseball has that can mimic a bubble in any kind of way?
It's not in the 113 pages that are in protocols of how all the safety protocols that were put in place. There is nothing in there. Once there is a positive case, the plan right now is to handle it on a case by case. And I do say this, I've been doing KBO games in South Korea, and you can think what you want of these games since May, which really have been some of the first to be played. They have not had one positive test, and their protocol from day one is if they get one, they shut down for 2 weeks. Shut down. Nobody's playing. And the idea of that, knowing as a player, if I get this virus, I am ending this for weeks for not just me, not just my team, but this entire league, that's in their protocols. And they knew that going into it. So yes, 113 pages. And I give them credit for everything that they're doing as far as prevention within those 113 pages. That's prevention, Now we're here. The fact is we have positive tests. What's in the protocol for once the tests happen? And there's nothing in there on the 113 pages. It's a team-by-team basis, and now we're really going to see how MLB reacts.
No question. And Jess, I thought it was interesting the fact that you said as a wife, you would tell your husband to come home. Eduardo Perez, I asked him, I said, what would it take for you to opt out of the season? And he said, all it would take is my wife saying it's time to come home. But obviously, you're also an athlete, or we're an athlete as well. You know, tons of accolades. We all know your story. Do you think you would even be comfortable playing or having, you know, your husband play if he was a player and you have children at home at this point?
I mean, the athlete in me is the where I go first, and I would want to play. I mean, that's honestly all you want to do in this. And to be honest, without fans the last few days, it reminded me so much of backyard ball, of being a kid, of going out and just playing to play. The smiles on players' faces, the way they're interacting is even different than we've seen in a regular season because there's not fans, and it's just literally a want to play. I want to play. They want to play. I don't think it's a question of that. But yes, when you start to think about the health concerns, I don't think anyone's comfortable. I spoke with Mike Trout 4 days ago, and he flat out said, I'm still not comfortable. He is playing. We're seeing a lot of players decide to play, but it doesn't mean that they're comfortable with it.
And that's some straight talk wireless, everything for less. Only at Walmart. And when they talk about comfort, this is that time that I have to continually remind everybody that athletes are still human beings. And just because they're playing a game that many of us look across and say, oh my God, why would you want to do that? They're still putting themselves at some level of heightened risk. And how comfortable they are is going to matter for the conversation moving forward. It's First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're going to head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line and get a little bit of expertise here from Marley Rivera. Joins us there. Marley, first and foremost, I hope you and yours are safe. That's the most important thing. Obviously, today we get the news with the Marlins and the outbreak. So what's sort of your comfort level at this point when you look across the Major League Baseball landscape that they're handling everything as best as can be?
Well, I don't know that, you know, I do think that they're handling things the best they can be. I mean, that certainly is a fact. I mean, that's why they created a 113-page protocol. That's what, you know, it was a miracle of human ingenuity that we even had an opening day on July 23rd. So obviously there were some things that were done well, but the part is that right now the travel starts, and this is not a season that was programmed to be played under a bubble the way that, you know, they're doing with the NBA playoffs, because it's just very different from Major League Baseball. It pretty much is very hard for them to do that, especially because the locations where they could have done that, where it's possible to do that, are Florida and Arizona, two coronavirus hotspots. So that really wouldn't have been a true option for them. But this is what's happening right now. So now it comes to the point where these players are traveling, and you don't know where, you know, there's supposed to be a lot of personal responsibility, and you are supposed to, you know, behave in the best way possible and follow all these guidelines, but some of them don't, and now we know what the results are.
We're talking to Marley Rivera. And Marley, give me a little bit of your thoughts on what the protocol is moving forward. I mean, if Miami has to essentially quarantine a large part of their roster, what happens?
Well, the only there is, you know, contemplated in this 113-page document, that is the reason why Major League Baseball, for the first time ever, has 60-man rosters to start the season. So obviously, in terms of just pure numbers, that should not be a problem. And there are, you know, quote unquote, alternate training site, which is where they're calling, right? Right now, the teams are divided in two groups, the 30-man roster, which is the active roster that is traveling with every team, and then the other 30 guys that remain in the back, you know, in this sort of taxi squad in case precisely this situation is open. But we are talking about a really large number of players at this point. You know, our colleague Jeff Passan reporting that it's 8 players and 2 coaches, and you know, in total it's about 14. So you know, if these numbers keep growing, that's when you have to be truly concerned. And not only that, this could impact another team, right? Like the fact that the Marlins were on the field playing against the Phillies is the reason why we're here in Philadelphia stuck at the hotel and not at the ballpark right now, because there isn't, you know, there's not going to be a game tonight, and the Yankees would rather not continue playing in Philadelphia.
Marley, you mentioned a couple of times the document for Major League Baseball, but it doesn't seem, at least from anything I've been able to find, that there is a line in that document for at what point it's too much and the season will simply not happen. Is there any sense yet?
That definitely is going to be part of common sense. That one is going to be there is a description of the fact that they created a joint committee that is going to make those decisions, you know, that it's created between players, representatives of, you know, from the Players Association and Major League Baseball. So, of course, there isn't a definition of when you can cancel the season, because the reason why a 113-page document was created was to actually keep the season running. So, you know, we don't really know how that's going to happen now.
Well, so with that being said, Marley, how confident are you that we're going to get to see this 60-game season play out?
I don't know. And I think that that's something that, you know, that we have to be very upfront about saying, because one of the things that I have learned, first of all, I've covered this sport for 2 decades. And one of the things that happens is that I have never seen news change so quickly than the way it did, you know, the 12th of March, you know, when we were back in spring training in Tampa with the Yankees. And the next day, all the sports world canceled. That was, you know, within 24 hours. So before the season even started, I didn't have a lot of trust that actually was going to happen, just because it just required just so many steps and so much personal responsibility that I did not think that it would be possible, you know, especially because of what we see around the United States in terms of compliance with coronavirus and pandemic protocols. So in the beginning, I thought it wouldn't happen. Once they actually, you know, we got underway and we were there in Washington, D.C. this past week for game one, we felt very excited on Thursday. And maybe this is going to happen, and now we have these news. So I think that things change so quickly that the best answer I can give you is I don't know.
Which is an answer I can't scream this loud enough, Marley. I respect that so much. I mean, we have to remember that part of what novel COVID-19 is, it's new. And when you're dealing with
the
new virus, how can anybody really be able to predict what's going to happen next? So with that being said, you're around the players. How comfortable have the players got? I know it's only a week into the season or less than, but how comfortable?
Well, we're not really around the players at all.
So. Oh, that's fair.
One of the things that one of the number one rules is that we are called the tier three people, which means we get nowhere near the players, only the players and the umpires. But I know exactly what you meant, and I have been talking to the players. And absolutely, you know, as we've chatted over the phone or texted or something, they're freaking out. I mean, that's the truth. Let's put it that way. They don't want to go into that clubhouse, even though they've been told, you know, it's been fumigated up and down and around. But they really want to be like, you know what, we want to go play in the Bronx. The Phillies were scheduled to actually play against the Yankees on the home opener on Thursday. So they're like, on Wednesday. So let's just go back up to New York and we'll take care of this. But absolutely, I mean, but they want to play. And we know that we have to sometimes protect players from themselves. So this is the point where a lot of decisions have to be made, and you cannot leave entirely those decisions to the players.
We're talking to Marley Rivera. She covers baseball for ESPN. You can follow her on Twitter at Marley Rivera ESPN. Marley, I do want to get one non-COVID-19 question in. As obviously we saw a lot of social conversation happening for Major League Baseball in the beginning of the season, which I think was a surprise for a lot of people that didn't necessarily know that baseball would be in that mindset. So give me sort of a sense being around it of what it meant to you to see Major League Baseball come out and actually make statements.
I have to say that the way you introduced that is perfect. It's exactly something that we did not expect. Major League Baseball has really truly lagged behind, right, in terms of social justice message. And we've seen it. And you know, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. We did a big feature on ESPN.com about that precisely, about how Major League Baseball, you know, Black and African-American players always fear speaking out. So you're absolutely correct to say that taking, you know, the BLM logo and put it in on the mound at Washington, you know, at Nationals Park on opening day, that was quite a message. And all of them holding on to that ribbon of unity. And that message that we saw, you know, if people haven't seen it yet, there is an incredible video made by the Players Alliance, narrated by Morgan Freeman, which are all African-American players in Major League Baseball speaking out and saying they will no longer be silent. So it was really, really surprising to me and encouraging to see that. And not only that, to see players like Giancarlo Stanton and see a player like Aaron Hicks saying they will continue to kneel the entire season during the anthem when they're outside. But let's be very clear, not every player is always outside when the anthem is playing. That was really surprising to me. that the Yankees would actually make that commitment, you know, a Yankee in a Yankee uniform, make that commitment to do that and represent, you know, the ideals that they believe in and fight for social justice. I am beyond incredibly impressed by this happening. And, you know, all I have to say is that it was about time.
You're 1,000% right. And again, I'll continue to say to everybody, there's a shift in the way players choose to use their platform. And I think it's amazing to watch happen. You can follow her on Twitter at Marley Rivera, ESPN. Marley, we always appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. Stay safe, most importantly. And thank you so much for the expertise.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'll leave you with the words of not mine, but Dexter Fowler, right? Like the players, actually, they've been talking, and Mookie Betts and a lot of the guys, the black players have said, I wish I could stick to sports. Jason Hayward said that. I wish I could stick to sports. So hopefully that's what we can do.
That's a powerful message. Thanks so much, Marley. Appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to keep taking your temperature on it. How confident are you guys at this point that we're going to get a Major League Baseball season through the process of it? Obviously, we're so early into it. We've already seen a star player miss opening night. Now we see we wake up to the news today that the Marlins are going to have to postpone a game. And that obviously, because of contact tracing, also affects the Phillies playing tonight. So it affects a couple of different teams. I want your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Coming up next, though, there was a mega trade in the NFL. Who won? We'll get thoughts on it from an expert. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Again, the big news of the day, the Miami Marlins home opener tonight against the Baltimore Orioles has been postponed as there is now a coronavirus outbreak within the Marlins clubhouse, within that organization. So obviously that's the most important thing here is health. And what we now know, according to multiple reports to ESPN, is that as many as 14 players have now tested positive for COVID-19. You've also got a couple of coaches that have tested positive for COVID-19. David Price, by the way, chiming in on Twitter, as he said, now we really get to see if MLB is going to put players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount, part of the reason I'm at home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed. We'll see what it means moving forward. Again, it's resulted in a couple of postponements, as obviously because of their last game against the Phillies. At this point, the Phillies game tonight has been also postponed against the Yankees. So that's where we are right now. COVID-19 causing some postponement. We're going to get your reaction to that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How confident are you now that we're going to have a Major League Baseball season? ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. So I want to head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line and give you a little bit of expertise on the other big news from the weekend. Jamal Adams traded, and we've all seen how much conversation was happening. Jamal was not holding back his words about the organization. It has now resulted in a trade. Adams and a 2022 fourth-round pick go to Seattle, while a 2021 first-round pick, 2021 third-round pick, 2022 first-round pick, and safety Bradley McDougal go to New York in exchange for that. So let's get a little expertise and analysis on it. Jeff Saturday joins us now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Jeff, thanks so much for the time. What was your reaction? I mean, trades at this point, it feels like every season we get a big trade at some point right before the season now. What was your reaction to the Adams trade?
I wasn't surprised he got traded just because of the adversarial attitude, you know, that was there with the team. And I think the last comment was about Gase in particular. And so you knew that he was trying to do anything he could do to kind of get out of New York, which was for him, you know, you kind of understood he was ready to go. But how much they got for him, I was shocked. I'll be very frank. I mean, when you're talking about two first round picks, another really good player and McDougal, who's coming, you know, with them. And then the kind of the flip of the third and fourth picks in 2021 as well, kind of that deal. And now you got to talk about getting him a contract. I mean, you know where he wants to be paid. And so, you know, what does that do salary cap wise? Once you do get him in the building, you have the fourth year and obviously an option, but he did not want that in New York. And so you're wondering what he's going to look for in Seattle. And so, I felt like Seattle gave up a ton for him. I think the Jets obviously losing probably their best player on their roster, but getting enough, in my opinion, to be able to kind of build and at least kind of rehab the situation. Obviously, with Joe Douglas and what he has to do with the team, you have a larger issue than just one player. But, you know, if people ask me if Jamal makes Seattle a Super Bowl contender, I don't think so. And I didn't, but I didn't, I wouldn't think one player would do it for Seattle. I think Seattle, you know, struggles offensive line wise and defensive line wise, in all honesty. And I know it's not sexy. People don't want to discuss it, but you want to win football games, you better get at least pretty good on those two fronts. And when they've won them in the past and played for them, they had decent lines or defensive line, very good defensive line. And so, to me, adding a safety, although he's a great one and all pro and probably one of the top five players, really, you know, kind of on the defensive side in the NFL, does it do enough? Not in my opinion.
Well, and that's the interesting part of it. We're talking to Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst. Like, Jeff, I'm with you. I don't feel like they were a safety away from suddenly winning the Super Bowl. When you look positionally outside a quarterback and you're mortgaging this much of your future, I mean, how should that future portion of the conversation weigh in the minds of an organization that is consistently good but, frankly, just wagered a lot on Jamal Adams?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And honestly – not that they've, I mean, they haven't drafted great anyway, right? I mean, when you look at their track record, talking about Seattle, right? They haven't had, it hadn't really happened the way they've expected it to happen, which, so, you know, now they're trying to kind of overcome that. I get it. And not that you're not getting a great player. That's the hardest part of this. It's not that he's not a great player. It's the position that he's playing and the impact he can have. And here's the other deal, man. Like, if you look at Pete Carroll, even last year on the back end of their defense, that's not where I would have said they struggled. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So does it make you better? Absolutely. Will he make plays, make tackles, do all those things? For sure he will. I have no doubt that he's going to be in the mix and be a playmaker. But that wasn't where you're probably. It's like you didn't address your issues, and that's the issue for me. When you don't address the areas of your team that are not making the cut, and that being offensive line and defensive line, and you've made this huge, you know, you made this huge financial impact on the back end of your defense, I'm just not really sure what that's going to do to you and do for you. And listen, you know, I know Russell Wilson, 32 years old, right? And you know, he's aging and all those things people talk about, but it's the physical toll that it's not his actual age. It's the toll that he's taken on his body, because he does become Superman in the fourth quarters of these games. And you're seeing them win all these tight games. So he's playing all these reps and he's taking this, but offensively they were not explosive. I mean, they didn't just take teams and, you know, when you talk about the most explosive offense last year, you know, you think about the Baltimore Ravens and how many points they're scoring, and you think about the Chiefs and you think about the 49ers, and you think about, you know, teams that people are scoring, and that's impacting how much pressure they got to put on their QB. Man, Russell Wilson's toting this team and has for the last few years. So, yeah, not sure you gave him a lot of help in that respect. Great, but again, it wasn't like you were just being exposed on your back end. I didn't feel so. And so for me, it's just you gave up a lot for what I don't think would put you over the top.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Jeff, it's also interesting when I try and connect a bunch of dots here, because we've now seen Jalen Ramsey traded. We've seen Minka Fitzpatrick traded. And now, you know, obviously we get another domino in that. So I'm looking across the board and I'm seeing teams that have been bad for the last several years trading away secondary talent to teams that more often than not seem to be on the right path. So what is it that isn't being figured out by some of these teams that are allowing star players in the secondary to walk?
Well, first of all, where they're drafting helps, right? These bad teams are drafting these really great players because they're at the top, and the good teams can't get them, right? I mean, they're so far down on the draft board, it's hard to get them. And so, you know, kind of everybody's trying to kind of level the playing field, for lack of a better term. But when you're talking about where the Jets are, you had a guy who and the Jalen Ramsey was very similar as well. When guys are just fed up with the organization, it's how much can your locker room tolerate? And bad teams can't tolerate very much. And that's probably the reason that they're bad, right? Is that their locker rooms as a whole, they don't have the maturity, they don't have the thought of, hey, how do we really hold this thing together? I mean, I think one of the greatest things of my experience in the pros was the locker room I was in Indianapolis. And we were not perfect. I don't mean to say it that way, but we could tolerate a lot, and players handled a lot and would handle other players if things were said or, you know, or things were done. We would police ourselves in conversations and the way that we were conducting ourselves, because football was at the forefront. And I think when you get someone as vocal as Jamal was at how unhappy he was, and listen, I'm not saying he wasn't right in being unhappy. If they promised him something and didn't do it and he was frustrated, he has every right to speak his mind. I have no issue with that part. But when it becomes toxic to other guys, that's the fear from a coaching perspective, is if he stays this pissed off in the locker room all day, every day, what are we really getting from him? And I think that's really the balance of what the Jets had to discuss, had to get through. And if you're going to go grab two first-round picks and a good player and then an uptick in the third, fourth round, probably better just to cut your losses of where they were. The relationship was tainted. It wasn't going to work. You got to move on. So I think, honestly, everybody got better. I just think the Jets got a better end of the deal long term.
We're talking to Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst. Before we let you go, Jeff, obviously the Marlins end up with the COVID-19 outbreak. They have to postpone their home opener tonight. If you're a player in the NFL looking at camp and you realize that you're about to be dealing with this, what's your reaction?
I don't think there's any surprise, Fitz. I mean, like, look, man, we understand. People are traveling, they're moving, they're, this is not like the NBA in the bubble, right? These guys are out in, and so I don't think it's a surprise. I'm interested to see how baseball handles it. You know, what does it look like? I think the NFL will obviously have positive cases through the season, and there'll be all kinds of situations, but they're very different in how much baseball travels to different cities, how many games are played in a row, you know, all those kinds of things. And so it's not quite apples to apples, but the response from the league, I think it's showing that they are taking player health and safety first and foremost. I think that's kind of what players want to see. Hey, how did they respond? And then have our conversations with the NFL of, okay, if we do get this, what does it look like for us? So I think from my perspective, obviously, you wish everybody the best. You want everybody healthy and strong. But those discussions need to be had. But I don't think, in my opinion, this was not a surprise. I mean, you knew this was going to happen. If it's a pandemic for a reason, right? And we're going to try to travel and go play and be around each other and be exposed to a number of different people. It's happening. Now, how do we respond? That's what matters most. So it will be very interesting for me to see how they do. But again, from an NFL perspective, I think that you understood this was going to happen. You know what's going to happen during your season, whether it's training camp, which will be more of a bubble. But once that's kind of broken and you're getting to the season, you know this is going to happen. How do we have those conversations now? How are we going to respond? What does it look like? And then move forward from there and have those honest discussions and make sure from a player's perspective, the guys who are saying yes are willing to take the risk. And if they say no and opt out, they understand, the reasons why they're opting out.
He's Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst. Jeff, obviously, this is last week at First Take, Your Take. Greeny will be in this spot soon. But if there's one thing I know when I'm down there with Sarah at 7 p.m., we're still going to be hitting you up, man. You're the best. I appreciate that you've always been willing to take the time and make the time for us on this show, man. It means the world.
Brother, I appreciate it. I love it, man. Can't wait to get back with you, brother. Y'all be well.
All right, Jeff Saturday there, doing great breakdown of the Jamal Adams trade. Absolutely love what he had to say there. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home. You can do that with your smart speaker, ESPN Audio at Home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van, find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for everything. We want you guys to chime in. I want to hear from you. How confident are you that Major League Baseball will actually finish the season? Some of you guys are on hold. We want you to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your take coming up. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Jeff Passan just tweeting out, the Baltimore Orioles are returning home from Miami tonight, sources tell ESPN, ensuring Tuesday's game won't be played at Marlins Park either, At some point, the healthy Marlins are expected to travel to Baltimore, where they were scheduled to play Wednesday and Thursday. That is the latest. Remember, the big news this morning is that there's a Miami Marlins outbreak. So at this point, a few hours ago, Jeff Passan tweeted the total number of infected players is 11 of the 33 who have been traveling with the team and two coaches. As a result of that, the Miami Orioles game tonight and the Yankees-Phillies game have both been postponed. For now, the rest may be played. So at this point, we're trying to figure out exactly where it goes moving forward, and that's the real question. Depends on synthetic oil, motor oils. No question there. They're made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. This is not simple. Look, I'm going to credit Major League Baseball. Number one, on opening day, we saw a star player come positive with COVID-19, and they were transparent about it. Now, we get news this morning that obviously we've seen two postponements of games, but we know with the Orioles headed back to Baltimore, it's going to be more. It's going to be longer. Even with a 60-team or 60-player roster, even with the expanded rosters, there is just a spot where Major League Baseball has had to decide to postpone these games because of the outbreak. So on the one hand, I will give them tremendous credit for finding the cases. That means that the tests at some level are working because at least we know who's positive. The question is, how do we stop the outbreak from happening, especially if you are a fan of any sport that is not going to be in a bubble? If you are a college football fan, if you are an NFL fan, you are looking squarely at Major League Baseball to see how they react to these tests, because failing COVID-19 tests, having a positive test at this point, is going to be inevitability. So the question then becomes, how are leagues going to deal with that inevitability? We don't have an answer to that, but that's what all eyes will be on across the sports landscape. It begs the question of how confident any of us can be, not just that games are going to be played, but that they can continue to be played if a league or a sport is not able to put themselves in a bubble. We're going to take some of your take, and I don't want to cut anybody off. So coming up next, how confident are you that MLB will finish the season, and have they done enough to protect their players? We'll hear from First Take next.